To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Busy time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You're going to get new episodes just like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including Michaela J. Rodriguez and Ron Funches. You've seen them both in Loot. We talked about season 3 on Apple TV Plus, Broken Social Scene, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Marty Stewart, Ian Astbury of The Cult, Colin Hay, Bruce Coburn, Elvira. Cassandra Peterson was here. Olivia Allen Lynn dropped by to talk about Wayward on Netflix. We spoke with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, as well as Mary Stuart Masterson, Rob Cordery, and Michael Chiklis about The Senior, Hannah Stocking, Madison Pettis, and Yvonne Orji about The Wrong Paris, and Willem Dafoe and Corey Hawkins about The Man in My Basement. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Famke Janssen, Dutch actress, model, former Bond girl. She first broke out in GoldenEye. You remember she was the one who would literally crush men to death with her thighs? Then she carved out a solid Hollywood run as Jean Grey in the X-Men movies. Between those, Prestige TV, Nip Tuck, Hemlock Grove, crime thrillers. She's in the Taken series and its sequels. And now she's back in Amsterdam Empire on Netflix. That's what we get to talk about. She plays Betty, a former pop star out for revenge after her husband's very public affair. Famke's going to dive into developing Betty, the character, as both actor and executive producer of the series. She's working in her native Dutch for the very first time. It's never happened somehow. And we'll talk about creating the character's colorful, childlike fashion herself as a co-designer. See, you got that right. She's executive producer, co-designer, and lead actress. All happening in this. She shot a full music video in character as Betty. We'll talk about that and performing her own vocals and choreography and what it's like to rediscover her roots back home in the Netherlands as well. So let's get into it. We're talking about Amsterdam Empire on Netflix. Kyle Meredith with Famke Janssen.
Hi.
Congrats on Amsterdam Empire. What a crazy cool show that you all have put together here.
Thank you. Proud of it.
Every now and then we get lucky and we get to go in kind of blind and get blown away by, you know, no trailer or anything. And that's what I did with this one. Didn't know what to expect. Totally went in on barely knew anything on the story. And to watch you all, this Weed Empire and Amsterdam and the whole thing, and just like the story is very engaging, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to over compliment you.
Well, thank you. I'll take it. We worked very hard, so we aim to please, you know.
So, you know, the usual place to start. Like, what did you see in the story? Why did you want to be a part of this as it landed in your old backyard?
I know, right? In my old backyard. The showrunner who was developing the project at the time came to me through Netflix, and he had only written one episode at that time, and he just said there was only one person he wanted to play this part. And I'm like, well, that's flattering. I like that. And then I looked at that first episode and I'm like, wow, okay, well, she's a fun character. And so, we started the negotiation and the deal, and I became executive producer on the project. And I'm actually so grateful and happy that that ended up working out, because since I was the first one cast, and I had the chance to be creatively involved and have more input than I ever had been able to have before as an actor. I mean, I wrote, directed, and produced a feature, but that's, a separate thing. But in this case, I thought this is amazing. I can really help develop Betty, because, it was just a character that I thought could be really interesting, but could also just turn into this angry, whirlwind of a mean-spirited person who's, and then I thought that we don't really need to see that, and no one can identify with that, because anyone who really thinks that through, of being cheated on, it's terrible enough as it is, but then it being a public event for everyone to know about, and then the fact that he also impregnates the new woman in his life, like, it's just, I mean, no one has to even think about how hurtful that would be. And so I wanted that anger, even though we see it at times, but it had to be grounded in like a reality of real hurt and devastation. And so I wanted to see glimpses of that, and worked very hard in making sure that we saw different aspects of that, different facets of that character.
I mean, right from the beginning too, because you get this moment where when it's happening, when the breakup is happening at the beginning of it, and we don't know these characters yet, you know, and we're learning about them very, very quickly. And he says something about a divorce, and you just stop. And you're like, wait, why do we have to get a divorce? Which I thought is so very European from our
Right, you just
advantage
cheated, whatever. Big
And I think
deal. Whoop-de-doo. Let's just move on. Yeah.
that instantly says everything about what you're saying about Betty. You know, it's like, because it could be very easy for a two-dimensional character for someone to say, oh, she's crazy or something like that, right? Like, and I guess I'd just like to hear you talk about, you know, that development more, because as you're saying, coming on as an executive producer and being able to do that, like, where do you take a character like this exactly? With a story like this, like, how did it develop like that?
It developed. I mean, it was, Nico's idea, and he had two co-writers with him, and they had been developing the idea, but it wasn't a full-fledged one when I signed on. And so I am so happy that I got actively involved in more of the development of it, because there's so many different, and I think that's the interesting part that I've now learned over the years, because I come from a film background. I mean, that's really the majority of my work is in film. And it wasn't until I was asked to be in Nip Tuck that I saw the inner workings of a series, where you realize, oh, wait, they've written one episode, we're filming, but they don't really know where this character or the story is going to go. It's on the fly. They constantly change things and stuff like that, which is really interesting, but also as an actor can be very daunting, because sometimes you think you're going to have a different arc, and that's the better, to me, always the part of, working in film. I know what I'm signing up for. I know the arc of my character, I know the story, I know everything, where it's going to go. So I have a safety net, and you don't have that safety net on a series. But at the same time, it's also, you can find things while you're working, because you didn't realize that, oh, wait, this character's actually better suited going in this direction or whatever. So there were some loose lines of things that they wanted to do, but it changed a lot over time. And the last episode, we were still working on that, very close to filming it. And you have to love that about the creative process. And that I think that with, Netflix and these streamers coming, giving people opportunities to work on this level of, having good budgets behind it, but then, you know, being incredibly creative and still allowing people to find characters and stories as they're going, and giving people a platform that we, you know, before we had an hour and a half on a film, and now we have, you know, 7-8 episodes or whatever that we can watch characters with. So it's a, I think it's a very interesting time. And what I mostly love, and the reason why I ended up deciding to do Amsterdam Empire, is that because of the global world that we live in now, and the fact that, you know, and especially, I guess, with Squid Games changing everything, or people being no longer, especially in America, I think people used to be intimidated by subtitles or anything that was in a foreign language. And now it doesn't matter anymore. If anything, it probably becomes a, you know, the appealing part of something, because it's so authentic and different. And yet we can identify with some of the characters, even though they're in Korea or in Amsterdam or whatever, you know what I mean, wherever it is. And so I really loved when this came along, and I thought, okay, so it has this package of its Netflix, which gives us the global view, and but it's authentically Dutch. And it's a fantastic character for me to play. And then in came all the other parts of, you know, the clothing design. I didn't ask to become a designer initially. I just became the designer because I had such a clear idea about who Betty was and how she was going to be dressed. And so it just, at some point I was like, wait, I'm basically, you know, making people execute my ideas. Like, this is, that's what a designer does. So I said, at least give me the co-designer credit. And it, I have to say, it was one of the most exciting and creative aspects of this job, is to have that much control over, especially a character like Betty, in terms of how she dresses, because it's another character part of her. It's almost like her outfits are another, you know, dimension, another character to who she is.
And we'll be right back right after this.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Fomke Jensen.
Which, by the way, you did a music video for this too, right?
Yeah, we did the music video. It's coming out.
To see the whole thing. I kept seeing the little part. I was like, there's got to be a full version of this music video.
Oh, there's a whole music video. And we shot it, and I sang, and I danced. I did everything myself. There's no tweaking that bit.
How was it for you? How was that?
If I say a dream come true, it would seem as if I wanted to become a pop star, which I never did, but dancing is one of my favorite hobbies in the world, because not because I've ever been trained professionally, but more because it gives me so much freedom and joy. And all of a sudden to have your own private choreographer, and I had the best choreographer, Vincent Viana, and he's Dutch like I am, but with a very international appeal, because on TikTok alone, I think he has like millions of followers. And he's like me, a perfectionist. And so I worked my ass off. His was just fine, but mine probably fully disappeared with the amount of dancing I did. But oh my God, I trained and trained, because not only did I have to look good right now, I had to look good as if I was 20 years younger. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of pressure on it. And, you know, because I'm not a professional dancer or a singer, I thought, when we do this, we better do it really, really well.
Which is interesting, so, because all that work for, in one point, a 3-minute video or whatever it is.
I know.
Yeah. Like, that's the things that happen in this job is.
But it's the best. It's the best. I mean, I've been on movies where I had to, you know, be on a horse, and it was like having a beautiful connection with a horse named Tank, who I still think about all the time. And you just, you know, I think I have a dream life. Just, I travel the world, I work on different projects, and, you know, I mean, it's competitive and it's tough, I'm not gonna lie, but wow, what a journey, you know? So I'm super grateful. So in this case, it sort of felt like everything came together, you know? It was one of those rare moments in life where it's like kind of full circle. The fact that I went back to my own country where I was born and raised, even though I left when I was 18, and, you know, the fact that I was acting in Dutch for the first time in my life, and then had all these added you know, job descriptions to it. And it all sort of came organically. It wasn't a forced thing. It just kept growing into something else.
Does the language change the acting at all?
A lot. A lot. But also because it's not just the language, it's the culture. Holland is such a different culture than America. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's an entirely different experience as an actor there. And then, so I actually, initially I thought this is going to be my biggest hurdle is the Dutch thing, because I associate acting with the English language. But in the end, it brought me so much for the character that I really enjoyed it, you know? And it came back, so, I mean, not that it ever went away, but I don't speak it daily like I speak English daily now. So it just was it became a fun challenge. Everything was a challenge. Fun challenge, but a challenge. A lot of growth and a lot of, you know, challenges.
Well, I was even thinking a minute ago when you were talking about the language and how people are so much more accepting of it, because I remember when the German series, I think it was called Dark, like that was one of the around our house, we could have selected the dubbed version and very quickly figured out that doesn't work. It actually, I mean, sometimes that's fine, but it really did distract from that story. And you know, it is. It used to be like in the 90s, people would get upset if it was letterboxed, you know, if you had like that's what they had a problem with.
Yes.
You know,
no,
right?
I know. Things constantly keep changing and there are people who hang on to the past. But interestingly enough, I did dub myself in English because I had that, you know, put in my contract from the beginning. Because it was the first thing that came to mind is, you know, they always dub series. And if someone's going to watch this in a dub version, it better be my voice. So I did it, which I'd never done before. And it brings a lot of different challenges, too, because it's about matching your mouth. It's not about performance. And I tried to give but you know what I mean? Like, and the language never is going to quite fit. And so it was an interesting, you know, I learned a lot on this whole project.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Fomke Jensen. And I'm just realizing that I asked you a question a minute ago and then we got detracted because we were talking about Betty's fashion and coming up with it. Like, so what, I would love to hear you actually define, you know, what it is about her fashion.
Well, I think number one is that Betty wants to be noticed and seen and feel relevant and not be forgotten. And I think the time in her life where she was most seen and relevant was the time during which she had her hit Forever Porter Jour, which was 20 years ago. So I think there's a childlike nature about her anyway, but it expresses in her fashion style, the reluctance to grow up, to let go of the past, to, you know, to be very colorful. I mean, in the way that when you see little girls, or when I look on the street and I go like, oh, I want to wear that. They just don't care. They're like, I'm a princess today. I'm going to wear this, you know, thing with like stripes and stars and socks and Converse and, you know, tiara, whatever it is. Like, they just don't care because they're creative and, you know, and I wanted a part of Betty to have that childlike wonder to her of, you know, this colorful, you know, just childlike creature, but creative and unique and authentic. And then, you know, as she progresses and the character progresses and the story progresses over time, we do see a bit of a shift in terms of color palettes. And it's not that she's going to be a full adult, because she'll always be childlike in a way. But there is something a little bit more sophisticated and older about her or more mature, or whatever we want to call it, as the series progresses. But so it was used very intentionally all the time. So there was never something that wasn't in terms of color or how, you know, vibrant or how many patches or how many things, like everything was customized. Which I do also, because what I'm wearing right now, I customize with all these butterflies on
it. Which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you very much. But so it's, this is what I do, you know, and I love that I got to do that with a character like, you rarely get an opportunity where you get to play a character that's so colorful in terms of, you know, the emotional journey and the fashion aspect of it. So I grabbed it and ran with it.
It's interesting you what you were saying too, because there I never known if it was really how true this statement was, but there was this whole line that we used to hear, I don't know if it was recently, but that people, whatever age you got famous at, was sort of where you got stuck mentally.
Yes.
And it sounds like for her, at least for Betty, that's absolutely true.
Yes, for me it's much younger apparently because ironically, which is so silly that all this time I have this photo of my grandparents and my two sisters and I at a wedding something and my grandmother used to make our clothes for us. And this picture sits next to me. I don't ever even think about it, but it wasn't until I finished shooting Amsterdam Empire, and I took a good look at that picture for the first time, and I realized I am still dressing the way that that child dressed. And that it wasn't until I played Betty that I really got to, I wear little socks with, patent leather shoes and all these kinds of things and like mini dresses. And it's like whatever, however old I was at the time, five, six, seven, I don't know. I'm still dressing like that. And it wasn't until I played Betty that I really got to have a good look at some of my own, things like that. So it's fun. I love that about acting so much that sometimes I learn through a character something about myself, or sometimes I bring my experience of what I've learned to a character. But either way, it's just sort of this most give and take situation of,
Yeah, and what it reveals. That's crazy to me too. And it's so fun watching you in this too. I mean, just seeing you tap into those sometimes insane moments, that are in here and just owning it. I mean, I think there's lots of times in here that there's a lot of actors that couldn't go there, just to whatever's going on. So again, I got nothing but compliments
Thank
for
you.
what you brought to the character and how this whole series looks. I love the cinematic feel of it and the throwbacks sometimes, I guess, like the whole thing. Of course, I've only seen about half the series, I think, so I'm excited to see where the story goes
Yes,
myself with everything
there's
else.
more to come.
Well, it's such a pleasure to talk to you about it. Thank you so much for taking the time to.
Thank you for taking the time. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
My thanks to Famke Amsterdam Empire out on Netflix. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, of course, you can head over to WFPK.org. Where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews and lots of music news. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Lady Ray, Kings of Leon, Joan Jett, Paul Westerberg, The Jam, The Rolling Stones, Keb Moe, Tyler Childers, The Killers, Sufjan Stevens, The B-52s, Chapter House, The Beths, and my interviews with John Anderson of Yes, Rod Stewart, Cyndi Lauper, and the cast of Outlander. You get that when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
See you later. Bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.